It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. Many cities across the country are being hit by an escalation of gun violence. Mayors from Seattle to Milwaukee to New York say they're alarmed by a thriving trade of illegal guns flooding their cities. The same is true in Boston, which is also facing a wave of shootings. Although Massachusetts has some of the toughest gun control laws in the country, police are struggling to slow the flow of guns from neighboring states with weaker laws. Anthony Brooks reports.
Not long ago, in Boston's Dorchester neighborhood, police raided a home where they believed drugs were being sold. As officers took three men in handcuffs out of the house and into a police van, Sergeant Detective Al Terrestri described the bust.
We hit this place this afternoon. We've got a sawed-off shotgun. We've got a quantity of marijuana and a quantity of some cocaine.
An officer carries the gun out of the house. It's an old one, beat up, with duct tape wrapped around the grip. But according to Detective Terrestri, it looks plenty deadly.
It does, and if it was pointing at me, it'd be an issue.
Police say more and more old guns like this are turning up on the streets. They say back in the 1990s, crime guns were usually new. But ever since the Brady Bill became law in 1994, anyone buying from a licensed gun dealer must undergo a background check. The law does not apply to sales between individuals, and most states permit private sales at gun shows and flea markets without records or background checks. So according to Boston Police Superintendent Paul Joyce, criminals now favor older guns that pass discreetly from owner to owner for years before they become crime guns.
When you have guns that were in the 90s, it was maybe 3 years and under time to crime. We're now seeing somewhere around 8 years time to crime. The ability to trace those firearms are very, very difficult. And when they're being purchased at flea markets and kitchen table markets, in some cases probably impossible to trace them.
Massachusetts has some of the nation's strictest gun laws and requires all gun sales to be recorded and all sellers to be licensed. But Joyce says it's easy to get a gun in nearby Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont, where private sales are virtually unregulated. In his church in Dorchester, the Reverend Bruce Wall has posted the names of hundreds of young people who've been killed in the streets of Boston over the past decade and a half. The number of murders hit a 10-year high last year, and lately, Wall has had to update his grim list of names.
This season right now that we're in is the worst that I have experienced. Last Friday, there was a shooting two blocks from my church. 19 to 20 shots, I was told, were fired. The Sunday prior to that, across the street, a 16-year-old was shot. He was holding his stomach. When the EMS came, he removed his hands, and then the blood started to pour out. I have never seen anything like this before.
And Wall says easy access to out-of-state guns is partly responsible. Among the easiest ways to get them is with a straw purchaser, an out-of-state resident who buys the guns legally and then hands them over to someone from Boston. With Reverend Wall on this day are two men who've been involved in gun trafficking. They agree to talk about it if they're not identified by name because they say they fear for their lives. Here's the first one. He's 34 years old from Boston.
I've taken the trips to Georgia, purchased 3, 4, or 5 guns, and drive on back to Boston. We always had a person that was connected down on that side. And as long as the money was there, they had no problem. The old saying, money talks, all that other stuff runs a marathon, you know, so it was that easy.
The other man, 27 years old, also from Boston, says he could get out-of-state guns without even leaving the city. He'd simply have a straw purchaser buy the guns and ship them.
One of my major ways of getting guns, I would ask someone, they'd make a phone call, next thing it's in a FedEx truck, depending on how quick I want it, or UPS. All the way from California, but most of the time it always went through. Especially if you had a connection, who drove the car, and there's no problem.
Boston police say 60% of recovered crime guns now come from out of state. They say gun runners increasingly depend on straw purchasers. And they say there's an abundant supply of guns in the streets. The second man says it's now a buyer's market, and the going price of a pistol is dropping from a recent high of about $2,000.
3 months ago, there was $1,500. How bad do you want it? I want $2,000 for this little gun. But now the demand, and there's so much here, this $300 again, $200. Their sneaker money is going to go buy them a pistol now, and nobody wants to go to a gunfight without a gun.
We've reached a dangerous tipping point as a result of federal gun policy that encourages versus discourages unrestricted access to all guns.
That's John Rosenthal, co-founder of the Boston-based group Stop Handgun Violence. He says it's time for uniform national background checks on all gun purchases, not just on sales by licensed dealers.
Federal gun policy allows guns to be sold without criminal background checks, including at over 5,000 two-day gun shows a year, as well as in 32 different states. There are no criminal background requirements for buying guns. So we're an industrialized state. We have the second lowest firearm fatality rate per 100,000 in the nation. And we're surrounded by states like Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, where guns are virtually unrestricted.
This renewed concern about guns has reignited an old debate with gun rights advocates who say gun control laws don't work.
Has a prohibition of anything ever stopped a criminal element from getting hold of something? No.
Jim Wallace heads the Massachusetts-based Gun Owners Action League, which is affiliated with the National Rifle Association. Wallace says guns in the hands of criminals require tougher law enforcement, not tougher gun laws in states with low crime rates.
The states that are being accused of having so-called lax gun laws, New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, so forth, don't have anywhere near the crime that we have here in Massachusetts. Is it important that we try to make sure that guns don't get in the wrong hands? Absolutely. But if we just go about that approach, that means we're still leaving the criminal element on the street. And that's where we need to do the work.
Wallace points out that since Massachusetts passed strict gun laws in 1998, gun crimes have actually increased. Gun control advocates say it's disingenuous to blame that on too many gun laws. It's an old debate that frustrates the Reverend Bruce Wall in Boston, who compares the fight against gun violence with the struggle for civil rights.
Our battle right now as people of color in this town is literally to save our young people's lives. And it's not a rope, it is a gun. And the leaders, the political leaders, are just dragging their feet as it relates to how to resolve this.
At an April gun summit in New York City, 15 big city mayors complained about 30,000 gun deaths a year in the U.S. and urged Washington to pass stricter gun control laws. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg is suing more than a dozen gun dealers in five states for allegedly supplying his city with hundreds of crime guns. The mayors say, with no action from Washington, they'll convene a larger gun summit later this year. For NPR News, I'm Anthony Brooks in Boston.